This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
What's going on?
Just watching as I earn another dollar or two off of those White
People
Sox.
People want to argue this. The first thing I got here on our Twitch was Crackman's, you know, like, hey, Laszlo's White Sox bet with the North London Binky Banker math does not add up. I did a spreadsheet. Do all the spreadsheets you want, bro.
No, how or does you it just bet
it
up? Win.
It adds up.
We already did this with
They're
AI.
They're trying to tell you, like, you're not winning even money back. You're not, because...
Oh.
Because they're minus whatever.
But
I'm
on
$20. You're still up. So
you're up
if the White Sox lose today, I win another $8. I told you, I did the math. And then if you do that for the entire year last year at $20, you'd have been up whatever it was, $4,000, whatever.
There was, $3,000. I think we may have done it where it was $100. But one thing that we did, it said it was the total was $12,000.
That was $100.
You
would have won last year.
If you'd bet $100.
But it doesn't mean you automatically double your money. They never won more than one, so you didn't have to double your money.
Right. They never won. It's not like they won three in a row and you would have had. So if you'd done it last year, you're talking about. Well, I was about to say a used car. I don't know if 12 grand is still a used car, but a considerable amount of money, 12 grand.
If you'd have been doing
And if you go, oh, well, I missed my chance, because what are the odds that a team could be that lousy and never win a few games in a row? Well, just watch them this year.
Yeah.
Just watch them. Just download the MLB app and take a look at some of the lowlights for yourself. I wasn't even watching the game last night. Laszlo texted me.
I was trying to go home for the White Sox and... He just decided to jog home. And the guy from left field just tossed it to the catcher, and they tagged him. And then the guy running home just got on his knees and threw his helmet down and started almost crying.
Because he knew.
And people were like, well, okay.
Right. This is the bottom of the ninth. And you've got your tying run on third. The winning run's on first. Right. And then... He comes running. It should have tied the ball game up, but he just jogged.
He didn't think there was going to be a play at home. He just kind of walked in. They tagged him, and I won my money. Thank you.
That was that. And you could think to yourself, like, this has got to be fixed if you see something like that. I think, no, it's just a moral decay. If you see anything or read anything about that team and that organization, they're not in a good headspace.
Right.
They're not a good team. Mm-hmm. They're not a good headspace. That obviously, they're still pro ball players, so you go, well, they should still be able to run home. You know, if it's a tying run,
right,
then at least run. Mm-hmm. But no, because it's the opposite of a winning mentality.
And I think that's what we said. Poncho on our Twitch, twitch.tv/searchaloud. So if you would have done the $10 bet, you would have won a little over $600 last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
And then if you did, I don't remember. We did
it was
all
100.
These
yeah.
You for 20, it was like right. My, and then for 100, it was like $12,200 something.
I think it was, yeah.
That you would have been up. I don't remember. It, there, the fact that they don't ever have winning streaks, or didn't.
They're just bad.
They're just bad. Because the whole
Here's
idea
the thing.
Of a martingale.
You can do whatever math you want. You're not going to lose money. You are going to win money. I don't know how much you're going to win, because I don't know how many games they're going to win. But you're not going to lose money. They're not going to win over 80 games.
I think the problem that people run into, the idea, the first time someone explains the martingale bet, betting system to someone in blackjack, we go, okay, you make a bet, you lose, you double it, you lose, you got to double that, so that when you win again, you're back to where you were with that first loss. You go, oh, well, that's a great idea. You quickly realize at a casino, if you're playing blackjack, it can get very expensive very
right,
quick. You can lose four or five hands, and now
so I'm doing $20 if they were to win, because it's not just then you're like, so okay, I bet 20 and say they win, then I got to do 40 and say they win and win again, then I got to do 80. And then they went again. I got to do 160. Then I got to do 320. Then I got to do 640.
And you're already down
that
amount.
I got to have that.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got to have that bankroll. So whatever that bankroll is in your pocket, if it's a dollar, if it's $5, if it's $10, if it's $20, they're not going to win. Chances are they're not going to win five in a row. I mean, that'd be crazy if they did, but...
But that's the thing. Last year, you said they never won more than one. They
right.
never had a two-game streak.
Right.
They never won back-to-back games.
They never won two in a row.
That's what he says. They did not win back-to-back games. That's why you should be in on this, Snuggo.
I know they were bad,
get
my
on out.
God.
They're losing again right now, of course. And
guys are trying to run home just laying on the ground crying. Like, I mean, just bet against... Look, do all the math you want. Run it through all their spreadsheets or whatever. The guy was running home crying. Just bet against the White Sox, and you'll win. I don't know why you all want to argue with
hey,
me.
Hey, I'm in. I've been doing it now. It's been nice these last few
up.
Days. Of course I'm up. How could I not be?
The Church of Laszlo.
It is pretty funny that Laszlo's sitting here trying to put the info back into ChatGPT about the White Sox to get those numbers up again, and he said that... It thought that he was wanting to bet on the White Sox.
And
it was like,
I would have had to bet $20 million at one point.
Like, you should not do this. I wouldn't recommend this. This is not sustainable. I know you've put the info into ChatGPT to try and get those numbers, which makes perfect sense. But I hadn't really thought. I've never. That's one of the things I haven't thought to ask AI about much is like, you know, who should I bet on?
Oh, yeah.
You do that a lot?
A lot.
Okay.
It won't tell you.
I just kind of figured it wouldn't.
You have to find different wording.
Okay. Like, you know, if someone else did it, someone who isn't me.
You got to kind of like, you know, it'll take you a minute to figure out exactly.
I can see that, because I can see
it'll tell you, like, you know, they don't want you to.
Right, right. That's kind of what I figured, that it just wouldn't say. But I guess it makes sense that you're asking for statistics, pretend like it's someone else or whatever. In theory, how much would a better have made or would a better make? What would be their better bet? Maybe they give it to you. I did see that Tom's Guide website. With you know AI being so popular now, they're like putting out warnings about things you shouldn't talk to AI about. And there's quite a few, but they gave like six things. Here's six things that you should never discuss with AI. Corporate information. So like if you're, which a lot of people use it for work, especially if you're doing something where you're using spreadsheets or Excel data, you know, just like because it can do stuff for you. If you're someone, I mean, my fiance, she's an accountant and. She's working with, what's that called, Excel all the time, right? And you know, with Excel, you can make all these rules and all this stuff. I mean, it can do it for her. She knows, like, this thing's, she loves it, and she also knows that it's going to take her job, you know, in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah.
But she does have to be careful to not put actual company info in there, just because you don't know where this stuff ends up. You might think, like, oh, ChatGPT is probably safe, you know, but it would be just your luck that this stuff ends up.
Gets hacked.
Exactly, whatever. So no corporate info, no embarrassing secrets. They say if it does get hacked, of course, you could be blackmailed for these secrets. Like, just the idea of someone I don't know how AI works, But I guess if they hack it, it's just like having a text conversation with someone. Is it like having an iMessage? This is how I imagine it. It's like I've been having this conversation with AI for the last year and a half.
Yeah.
And it's like text, just like when the cops look at your phone.
Yeah.
And so if a hacker were to get a hold of that, that'd be bad, right?
That's bad.
That'd be pretty bad. So don't share embarrassing secrets. Don't share any illegal activity, it says, even if you're joking. It says OpenAI does track chats, and their privacy policy says that they can use your data to detect or prevent illegal activity. So they might, if they think that you're up to something, they might share it with authorities, according to Tom's guide in the Wall Street Journal. Financial information, you're not supposed to share, like, your bank account numbers. I think you can talk to it about money, but you're not supposed to put bank account info in the routing numbers.
If you had done $20 last year on the White Sox, ChatGPT just analyzed every game, every win streak, what you would have bought, what you would have paid for, what you wouldn't have paid for, you'd have won a little over $1,700.
$1,700
on a $20 bet.
And they did end up winning however many games.
And your initial bet would have, the biggest bet you would have had to make was $160.
Boom. There you go. So,
but there you go.
Just keep doing it. By the way, is that game over? I think they lost already, right?
I'm sure.
If not, it's close. And then the last two are something they could use to steal your identity, you know, like passport, social security. I don't know why you'd be put. Why would you be putting that into? I don't know. Like, you take a picture and go, does this look right to you? Does my passport look funny to you? And then they said the number one thing is don't ever tell it your passwords, which that's never crossed my mind. Mm-hmm. To be like, hey, could you remember
what do you
these
think
for
my password?
Me? Right, or what do you think about? Yeah, is this a strong enough password? I mean, your browsers and stuff usually do that for you already anyway, your phone.
For sure. I guess it wouldn't bother me telling it my password because your iPhone already remembers it.
Yeah.
You've used that key, so it's like it's not like I haven't given it to somebody already.
I know. Exactly. So, okay, if they hack OpenAI,
it's
they
just
get my password.
Apple
but,
versus
right,
Facebook,
right, yeah,
OpenAI,
whatever.
Or whatever browser, yeah, Apple or your browser or whatever. So, you can't, everything requires a password. So at this point, you either have to use the same password over and over. There's no way someone can remember a million different passwords. Or you have to let these things generate passwords for you.
And then they know it.
And then they know it.
They know it, and I don't.
Exactly.
They have one that's like just random letters and words. So I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll never be able to get in there, but you can.
Yep.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. When's the last time you talked to your sister?
She texted me for my birthday.
Oh, okay. Well, so that's good. How many times
have
you?
Happy belated birthday.
Yeah, happy belated birthday. I feel like we don't do birthdays around here.
Really?
So
it was
counting.
Sunday this year. So.
Yeah, so we didn't have to do it. But yours is, how does that work? It's
the
day before, right, it's the day, I think it's one day before my brother's or something like that. That's how I know. But since we don't do birthdays, I'm just kind of like, man.
I know yours is.
If there's a woman here, that's when we've done birthdays.
Yeah,
when we've worked with women, they'll bring you a cake or whatever. And for some reason, when a woman wishes you a happy birthday, you're okay with it. But with dudes, at least at our age, it's just kind of like, we don't need to make a thing out of this. But how many times a year would you say you talk to your sister? Probably
twice.
Twice. Like Christmas and
maybe
birthday?
She might text me on my birthday and then, you know, if I go visit my mom.
So there's no just...
Hey,
sitting at night talking about, can you believe this show? Have you watched this yet?
Never.
Are you caught up on Severance? None of that.
Never.
Wow. And you never.
Well, my nephews, her kids more.
Okay. You'll have those conversations with their kids more? Because today's National Siblings Day or something. Mm. They were talking about siblings, and they said that, you know, most people think that having at least one sibling is better than having no siblings at all. I know... My fiance talks about that a lot. She sees people with one kid, and she always wonders, did they try to have another kid, or did they not want the one kid to begin with? Because if you wanted kids, then why didn't you just have two? She's like, you know, you at least have two or three, because you got to have a sibling.
Why?
I don't know why exactly. I think part of her thing is, like, have a backup. I mean, if we're being honest, like, something happens to your kid.
Like
I think
kid
she watches
dies?
Too much true crime. Yeah,
I don't
and if
think
a kid,
people think of
killed,
other kids as a backup.
I know.
Someone
it's
has
morbid.
Two kids, I don't think I'd think, well, I got another one.
I know. It's morbid. It's morbid. But I'm just being honest. I think that's part of it. But her main thing is that she thinks that siblings need to have one another. And especially, you know, even if they don't get along when they're younger, that siblings need one another to you have that built-in friendship. That I guess you don't have with
like, okay.
your sister. But I don't know what the percentage of... that's one thing they don't go over is how many people have siblings that they don't really talk to. Obviously, I have three older brothers, and I talk to all of them. I don't know how much each one of them talk to one another. I know they do talk to one another. I think they would say that they talk to me the most. But I think part of that is just like, you know, they know I'm... I used to be at least up late, and I don't know. Maybe they talk to another lot, but I talk to all three of them, I would say daily, at least once a day, via text. So before text, it's not like we called all the time, but we would. Like when you and I moved to Seattle, my brothers would call, and I was always like, okay, I guess I live far away now, so we have a conversation on the phone or whatever. Did you talk to your sister on the phone when you moved away?
I don't live there now.
No, I know. When you moved away from home, like, would she call?
No, but I think, like, I don't know. Like, you know, my sister left for college when I was 10.
I know, but my brother's way older, too.
Yeah, but then I was 17, I left, and everyone came back.
Yeah.
So, even when I was 10, I probably didn't see her very often.
Yeah.
And then when I was 17, I saw her maybe once a year.
Yeah.
Last, you know, 30 years.
Yeah. I mean, my family gets
together
more than
that. You stayed here, and they stayed here, for the most part.
Yes.
So you see each other at Easter.
More
you see
often.
Each other, right. You see each other all the time.
Holidays.
You know,
for sure.
Your mom's sick. You
Birthdays.
Go to the hospital.
Yeah.
All that stuff. I don't have that. I never had it.
And so then, okay. So you think that's why.
Absolutely.
You don't have even the text relationship.
Her.
Yeah. So 38% of people who are only children, don't have siblings at all, said they're totally fine with it. They don't long for having a sibling. So, you know, it's the minority, but it's not like it's a super small. I try and think of the people I knew growing up that were only children, and I don't know. I used to think when I was younger that you could kind of tell when someone was an only child, but I'm sure that was all in my head. Yeah. But the thing about the only children is, hopefully, they get the attention from their parents that sometimes if there's a bunch of kids, the criticism is, well, parents, there's no way they could have enough time to give all those kids the attention that they need. Now, you know, two or three kids, or I guess if they're spread out. My biggest thing would be the friendship. Your boys have one another for every hardship they will face in life, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if they keep it.
But that's just it. They don't even really have to keep it. Like, if they didn't speak for a long time, if they were mad at each other, I still believe that when the S hits the fan, they would talk to one another. And if they didn't, they had that ability to.
Right.
It's just different. I don't know. It's your family, and so even if you don't talk for a long time because you've had some bad blood or whatever, you can come together.
I guess it could
be
the other way too.
But your boys get along, so
not really.
I mean, they're at an age now where they probably get along the least, but that's pretty normal,
right?
I would say I got along with my brother the least.
But I also think, okay, well, when you know, and this is from somebody who has a sister, so just to argue devil's advocate, all right, well, when your parents die, you don't have anybody to argue with.
Right, okay.
Right, like, you know.
But you have someone to help you plan the funeral and do all that stuff.
No, you also don't have someone to argue about who's going to get the money, who's going to get this, who's going to get that. You don't have all the fights that normal families go through, right? I mean, they're, you know, so take away the, I don't have anybody to help. You also don't have, I've never seen anybody, any family with two or three kids in it all share the duties of helping their parents evenly.
No,
there's always one kid, I don't know who it is, and I don't know why, but it's not necessarily, I've never seen it be like, oh, it's always the oldest, or the middle, or the youngest. It's just one of them ends up doing all the goddamn work.
Yeah.
And resenting the other two for it.
Yeah.
At least if you're the only one, you're like, well, I got no other option. I'm the guy who's got to go do it. I can't be mad at Susie, because she's not going over there. There is no Susie. So I think it also cleans up a lot of stuff. Like, I don't think it's necessarily bad.
I mean, it depends on family. Of course, I'm putting this all through my lens, which is I get along with my brothers. So, and of course, we have our differences sometimes, but never anything serious enough that we stopped talking.
Right.
And I know that is common. And I guess Brooke and her sisters, I know they'll bicker or whatever, but I don't think they've ever gone more than a day without talking.
Right.
If they were mad at one another, then they might go a couple days without talking to, you know, that specific sister, but they're back talking to each other pretty quickly. So I'm using that, my limited worldview here. I know there's people that don't get along with their siblings, and I hadn't thought
of
it.
And even if they're not, like, you know, even if they still get along with them, even, there's one person in that family. It's like there's one person in that family who resents the other for not doing enough stuff.
Mm-hmm.
One person resents other people in the family. There's no doubt about it.
I think they can also resent the other person for other things. It could be that they resent the other person because they thought they got spoiled. And you know what I mean? They got preferential treatment. They were the favorite, whatever.
Well, of course.
I think there can be all kinds of stuff. That definitely does come with siblings, I would think. Most, if not all siblings. They said only 8% of people said that they had gotten at least into at least one serious physical fight with their sibling. I don't really understand that. That number seems almost like a misprint. Now, you have a sister, so it's different, but if you have brothers, at some point you get into a fight. I mean, my youngest brother is 8 years older than me, so there's a huge age gap there, but still, we got into, I guess maybe people wouldn't consider it a fight because it's not like a bar fight, but I mean, we're punching one another, he hit me, I'm crying, right, you know, sure. I don't know, maybe that doesn't count. But only 8% said they'd had a serious physical fight with a sibling before. 10% said that they would describe one of their siblings as their best friend.
Right.
And I get that because I don't think that that's an indicator that they don't get along with their siblings. I think if you say, who's your best friend, I could come up with names, whatever, but I think my brothers are my brothers.
Right.
And it's different. Just a different thing. 19% of us think that we are completely different from our siblings.
Yeah.
So I think that's a weird one. Yeah, so I'm different from my siblings, and we're all different from one another, but of course we do share a lot of similarities that I don't share with other people because we're related. So even though we're different, you can tell that we're related. That was 20% think that they're completely different. Most of us don't think that we're the favorite. Only 30% of people said, I think I'm the favorite kid. And that's a weird one because that's come up before, who's the favorite? And I've asked you if you have a favorite. If we were to ask your kids, who's the favorite? If they would have an answer. And like, you know, for me, I think I know who the favorite is. But I think my brothers would argue that at least a couple of us would argue about who the favorite is.
So, I think they both would say they are.
For your sons? Mm-hmm. That each one of them? That's good,
my
right?
My guess is. I don't know.
Isn't that ideal? Know. That to me would mean that you're doing a good job parenting because if each of them thinks they're the favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I know that people say it's common if there's three kids or more that the middle children, especially depending on how the ages work out, that the middle child can get overlooked. And they've done studies. I think we've talked to them before where they go back and look at like photo albums, family photo albums, where there's three kids. And here's all the pictures of the first kid, right? It was the first baby, take a ton of pictures. Here's all the pictures of the baby. And the middle kid, there's like, you know, a tenth as many pictures.
Because they're busy even
the one. Yeah, it's like one's the oldest, one's the youngest. Or they're just immediately going also to the new baby.
I don't even know if that's true, though, but I feel like we all just learned it in the breed a bunch.
Yeah, I mean, this study was a long time ago.
Like, I just feel like we've all just said that. I don't know that it's true, though.
They did, too. It was some sort of, like, I don't know if it was 60 Minutes or what it was, some sort of study that we talked about, but it was a long time ago. And I don't think that they said that they learned that the parents love the middle children any less.
Right.
It was more like there are reasons for the middle child to believe that they weren't getting as much attention because oftentimes they weren't. You know, they weren't being photographed or whatever. They weren't the baby. On the final one, they said 33% of people with siblings think their mom definitely has a favorite child. Only 22% think that dad does. And that makes sense to me. I would think it's more likely that my mom has a favorite than my dad. For you, it's just you and your sister. You know, I don't know what that was like. There's a decent age gap there, right?
Yeah, 8 years.
8 years. So the same as my youngest brother, which is a big age gap. So I don't know if you may not even want to say, but if you think your mom's favorite, let me ask you this. Do you think your mom's favorite and your dad's favorite was the same without saying who it was? Do you think they both had the same favorite? No. Okay.
Yeah. No, I think I was my dad's favorite.
Okay.
And my sister was my mom's. But I think maybe my sister was my mom's because she knew that I was my dad's.
Right.
Like, I think parents make up for that a little bit. They're like, oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
Even if it's not true.
Sure.
Right? I think they're like, oh, he favors him. All right, I got to give her more attention. Like, I think parents make that up in their head.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah.
Because I definitely think that it could be different for each parent. Did you ever wish that you had a brother?
I never thought about it.
You really didn't?
That's the thing. And, like, from 10 on, I was an only child. Like, I never. That's why I don't.
Like, even as an adult, you haven't thought, like, man, it'd be...
No, I wish I had a brother to call. No, I don't know. No, I never even think about it. I mean, I have a sister.
Right.
When my dad died, we talked. We handled the information together. She flew out there, took care of my mom for a while, and then a month later, I flew out and did the other stuff. And, you know, we weren't ever together there, though.
Wow, yeah. I'm curious how many people have siblings that they absolutely don't get along with. Like, you're an adult, and
because
you don't...
Because it's weird, because you keep saying it, but it's like, I do get along.
I know you do.
I love her. And if we see each other, we get along great. We laugh and, you know, I think she's a really cool, nice person. I just
you're just not close. I get
yeah, we're just not close.
But I wonder,
I think that happens way more than you're trying to think about it.
No, I'm, that's what I'm saying. I wonder how much that
happens.
It's a
lot.
And then I also wonder
because
I bet a lot of them hate one another too. Unlike
well,
you two,
I bet that number's a little, you know, probably skewed towards the ones that are best friends. It's probably in there, and I think most people in the middle are like, yeah, I know, I see my brother.
It's just kind
at
of
holidays.
Like that. Yeah,
you know, like I think that's probably most people's relationship with their siblings. I see them, you know, here and there. We text each other. It's, you know, it's fine.
So you think the smaller number would be the people who say, I have siblings as an adult that I'm very close with and I speak
to
regularly?
I think that number would be 15%. I speak to them regularly and we see each other every Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think 10 to 15% would be like, I hate that bitch.
Okay.
And then I think in the middle is somewhere around
you.
Somewhere around me. Maybe they talk to her more than they do, or maybe they talk, you know, a little bit less. But it's in that, like, I don't really get along with her, but I see her where I'm like, oh, I really like her, but I don't see her that much. I think that that's the middle, where that's how most people end up. And, you know, I would assume that's it.
It's just crazy to me that you never even thought about, like, what it would be like to have a brother. I've thought about what it would be like having a sister growing up many times. Like, having the older sister to give me advice, you know. I feel like if your older brother tells you don't wear that, you look like an idiot, it doesn't have the same impact as if you had an older sister. But maybe if it's a sister, you just think, you're such a dork. You're my sister. You're such a dork. I know you're a dork. I don't care what you think.
I honestly never care what my sister thought. Like,
right.
To this day, I still
right.
don't. Like,
and that might be really common,
yeah,
too.
Me too. I go by a room. Like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I never thought, like, man.
Give me some advice.
I think, like, little things, maybe. Like, in, you know, my first sixth grade dance.
Yeah.
You know, I think, like, in the movies, she taught me how to dance.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's the stuff I
think
that
stuff,
about.
Right? But I mean, it's 10 minutes in a lifetime. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you're like, oh. And I think if I asked her, like, did you teach me to dance? And she'd be like, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's just, you know.
It is what it is.
I knew she was older than me, and she had hot friends who came over a lot. I like that about having a sister.
Yeah,
as opposed to probably having a brother, just a bunch of dudes coming over and beating your ass all the time and calling you a little bitch.
That's what it is.
I did like the idea that, oh, man, it's Saturday night. She's got to watch me. That means her friends are coming over. That was good, but
that'd
I mean,
be awesome. And my friends who had older sisters, sometimes they knew stuff about, you know, women that the rest of us had to learn from them because their older sisters would tell them.
That is not something we ever, again.
Yeah, but you got a huge age gap. You got a
still,
big,
like,
yeah.
You know, say like 9 to 16 or whatever it was, you know. That was not anything that ever came up. Like, what are you going to do with that? That is not anything I wanted to talk to my sister about.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised at all if the biggest percentage overall are people who don't hate their siblings and have kind of the relationship that you do.
That's what I'm saying.
I bet
that's a huge percentage.
I'll bet that's probably
that's what I'm
the
saying.
Biggest.
15-15 on each side, and then the biggest
is just
is in the middle. Like, I see them when I see them.
Yeah.
They seem like fine people. I root for them.
Well,
I root for her. I hope
wish
everything's going great.
Wish them a happy sibling day today.
The Church of Laszlo. Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51.
And the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Yo!
Yo! Well, there is plenty to get to today, my friend. First of all, I know we've all been very worried and sending our best wishes to ballerina Kiznia Karolina, who's been in Russian prison for like over a year now. You know, of course, the Americans say that she's been there. She's wrongfully convicted of this, whatever the name of this crime is, some sort of treason, because she is an American ballerina. She's got roots in Russia and Ukraine. She goes back to Russia to visit some family members for, I don't remember if it was a holiday or birthday, but she was visiting someone. While she was there, apparently she gave a very small amount of money, like $20 or something like that, to a Ukraine, you know, help the Ukrainians fund, Ukraine relief.
Yeah,
remember her? We talked about her when they got her.
Yeah.
Well, Rubio and Trump got her out. She's on her way back. I think she's back now,
maybe. We just learned after more than a year in Russian custody, U.S.-Russian dual national Ksenia Karolina is on her way back to the U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio posting on social media this morning. He said, American Ksenia Karolina is on a plane back home to the United States. She was wrongfully detained by Russia for over a year. President Trump secured her release. POTUS will continue to work for the release of all Americans.
There you go.
That's awesome.
So she's home. I guess if you were an American and you're locked up in Russia, it probably is a good. You probably were happy when Trump got elected, right? Because he'll make deals with Putin,
right? Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know, but there's one. I don't know who else is still locked up there. I can't remember if that. I think that Marine. He might still be there. Anyhow, Tyreek Hill. We all know Tyreek Hill because
we're having him now.
He's amazing. He used to play for the Chiefs. Did you see the story about him? The cops called on Tyreek. Boy, I saw some really like exaggerated headlines this morning about it. One of them even said something about they tried to imply that he was dangling his kid over the balcony of this.
Oh, Michael Jackson style?
Right. He didn't. Go through the actual story. There's nothing in the report about that at all. What happened was it sounds like he and his significant other. They're arguing. I think they're married. It's his wife. They're arguing. And he gets, you know, kind of like I do when I argue with someone I'm dating or married to. You know, I might throw something. And I guess he threw something, like a laptop. The mother-in-law did not like this.
Like, not at her, just in general?
Just said that that he threw a laptop. Didn't say threw it at her. Said threw a laptop. Okay. But she was scared, and she also said that he has a history of being unpredictable and kind of scary and worked up. So she felt like the safety of her daughter and grandkid might be in jeopardy.
Well, mother-in-law did.
The mother-in-law. So she called the police.
Always the goddamn mother-in-law.
I know.
And mind your business, bitch.
Yep.
So, why are you over here anyway?
Right.
If you weren't all up in our business all the time over at Tyreek's house, none of this would have happened.
You should see this place. I mean, they didn't show the inside of it, but I don't know that much
is
about
it
Miami.
Miami?
Yeah, okay. It's that Porsche Design Condos or Porsche Design Building, they called it. I didn't know if that was something I was supposed to know. It looks awesome, and he's up on like the 30-something floor. But if you see these headlines that say he took his kid out on the balcony, yeah, okay. He literally was with his kid, and they went out on the balcony. There was no dangling the kid over the balcony, nothing like that.
The mother-in-law of Miami Dolphins star wide receiver Tyreek Hill calls the cops. The call goes out as an assault in progress. When police get there, they make contact with Hill, his wife Keita Hill, and their child. They also speak to Tyreek's mother-in-law, Alicia Vaccaro. Vaccaro stated that Tyreek is very aggressive and impulsive, and that he has anger issues, and she is afraid for her daughter. And when she saw Tyreek arguing and throwing her daughter's computer to the floor, and later grabbing her granddaughter and start walking with her in his arms towards the balcony of their 35th floor residence, she called the police.
Oh, okay, yeah, there you go. So
okay, I see here this video of him on the balcony.
You can see him on the balcony, right.
And he's holding his daughter.
Yeah.
And he's over by the balcony, and he's just kind of looking down. He's not...
There's no dangling. There's
no dangling or anything.
And apparently they were arguing at that time, which, with that information looking at it, like, yeah, okay, I guess it could look like they're arguing. But that's it. The mother-in-law called the police, and then she gives this report saying that he's very, whatever it was, unpredictable and scary and violent. You know, I'd heard that there were talks that he was going to go to Washington, and there's been talk about Tyreek.
I think he's leaving Miami, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that, but
I think he wants to, maybe.
He did say he wanted to.
Okay.
I thought I heard something about Washington, but either way, I know I've seen his name pop up in, like, sports news recently. So I don't know if this changes anything on his plans.
Washington got Debo Samuel.
Yeah.
That's so that probably ends that. But whatever, if he had plans or hopes or whatever... I don't know, or even just with his team, with Miami. You know, Miami put out a statement or whatever, but does this sound like a big deal to you?
No.
Does it sound like a big deal?
It sounds like no matter what Tyreek Hill does, it's going to be a big deal.
Well, that's my thing. Because it's not the first time. Even if you think that all of these things were...
And even if it's not, a lot of stuff he's done hasn't been proven or that he's been bad, but he got in trouble with college. Quote unquote trouble, college, then here, even though that was proven to be wrong. And then he did that thing where he was playing football with that woman at his house and she broke her leg.
Like, I forgot all about
that. Dude always gets in some sort of trouble, you know?
Yeah. Well, his wife, I guess, was mad enough. She filed for divorce and then I think she filed for divorce like the next day. And then Miami put out a statement about it. My thing is like I said, I don't think this seems like a huge deal in and of itself. I just wondered if because you make the news for this stuff, does that in and
of
itself become a big news? Miami said, on Monday, we were informed that the police were called to Tyreek Hill's home. And after conversations with Tyreek and members of his family, the police departed the residence without further incident and the case was closed. Okay. Got that. We have since been in communications with Tyreek and the NFL, and will have no further comment on this matter. Right. So, I mean, that's technically a statement, but it's like...
Right, went there, everything.
Yeah, we're aware. We're aware, yeah. And don't ask us about it, because we're not going to...
Right, and there wasn't anything that we deemed bad.
True. True. Right? There wasn't, like, any scolding in there.
We didn't arrest anybody. We didn't, you know...
Yeah, he didn't reprimand him and say, right. We obviously expect our players...
We separated them because they were angry. He didn't say any of that.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So then, not a big deal. We're all voting not a big deal here. I'm going not a big deal. Yeah. 3 out of 3. Flight from New York to, where were they going? Italy, I think. They were going overseas. They'll say in the story here. I think it was Milan, maybe. Anyhow, they are over the ocean, well out over the ocean. This is the second time this has happened, or something similar, in the last month. But it's an American Airlines flight. This guy starts getting bitchy on the flight. Something interesting that I had never thought about. I heard the pilot say that they don't normally have these types of problems on overseas flights.
Okay.
That it, you know, you see this stuff in the news all the time, where rowdy passengers or whatever, but that's much more likely to happen on a domestic flight. And it doesn't happen that often on these longer flights, yeah, which I'd never considered.
Just prepared to go for a long time, I guess.
That's what I wondered. You're mental, or is it because it's even more expensive? You know, I don't know. Anyhow, this guy started getting, it sounds like, started getting pretty bitchy. Wanted to sit in the exit row, even though he had a kid, and they told him he couldn't. He was mad about what meal he got. I mean, this is really dumb stuff. But there were passengers on the airplane who were interviewed later, and it sounded like they were nervous while they were up there. The whole incident did alarm them. And what alarmed them further is the fact that a lot of them thought, since this was an overseas flight, that there would be an air marshal. And they said there was no air marshal. This guy was just sitting. They finally got him to sit down in a seat, but he was unrestrained. So they have to turn around in the middle of the ocean and fly all the way back to New York and land this sucker.
300 people
round trip.
On their way to Milan, got their flight interrupted, got traumatized from actually seeing what this guy was doing.
It happened Monday aboard a flight from New York's JFK. American says several hours into the flight, the man was upset he didn't get the in-flight meal he believed he'd requested. He also tried taking an exit row, challenging flight attendants when told he couldn't sit there because he was traveling with a child.
He was in back with no restraints, with no air marshal, with no type of security watching him.
I mean, this is what you were throwing a fit about? The meal and then wanting to sit in the exit row? What is your assigned seat?
Okay. I'm fine. With everybody being upset. I'm fine with the pilot turning up. Everybody's got to be more than safe. So what, he bitched at a stewardess? Like, you didn't give me the right meal? I'd like to sit in the emergency row. And they're like, no. And then they're like, go to the back of the plane,
it sounds like
sir.
He did.
And then he goes. And now someone's traumatized by that?
Right. Also, I would be mad that we turned around. I mean, if I get a vote... I feel like we got to be missing something, because if I'm a passenger on that flight and I get a vote, if he's sitting down, I don't care that he's unrestrained.
Well,
if he's sat down, just keep going.
I guess the pilot's like, hey, we're closer to New York, and, you know, this dude's freaking out. As a pilot, I don't blame them. They're probably like, I got to get back to the closest place possible. If this guy tries to crash the plane or something happens, it's my ass. I got to land this thing as quick as possible. I'm in the middle of the goddamn ocean. New York's closer. We're turning around. I'm not going to take the heat for this.
I get it, but was he... Nothing that they described sounded like he'd reached a level of belligerence where you think this could escalate to him trying to... If he's mad about a meal, he must have been really throwing a fit for them to turn this plane around. And, of course, American Airlines is like, hey, we're sorry to all you passengers who just took this 7 or 8 hour round trip to nowhere. So what did they give them? They took care of them. They gave them all a comp for a free meal in the future.
Oh, nice. One that they probably didn't want.
Nice. Yeah, an in-flight meal, exactly. Hey, you, and specifically, we're giving you the one
I didn't order.
Yeah.
The Church of Laszlo. Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51,
and the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Yo, Mr. Big Nuts with the news.
Man, oh man, oh man. What a day. The news gods just kept dropping these crazy stories in our lap. And I would say that the craziest is probably this one involving the wife of the bassist from the band Weezer.
Oh, yeah.
So she's, I actually have seen her on TV before. and I knew that she was his wife. I think I must have probably looked her up when I was watching her. They say she's an author. I saw her in a thing that I think, Lazo, you might have actually watched too on Stars a few years back, Confronting a Serial Killer. It's about Sam Little. She hosted that. I don't know how much TV she's done, but
I just know she was in a harem.
Right, that was your thing. You're like, she was in a harem.
She was like in a prince's harem.
Yeah, which I guess is a, you know.
3 years, I guess.
Are still a real thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, in my 20s, I guess I didn't know if those actually existed, but they say that she participated, so I don't know. Yeah. She's, I think, 51 years old. This story is crazy. So Los Angeles. We're going to Los Angeles. Picture Los Angeles. There's an accident on the freeway. There are three suspects, I think there's three, that flee the scene of this accident. So it's a hit and run. The cops go looking for these suspects who have fled this accident. They've got choppers involved. Neighbors who lived in this nice, quiet neighborhood said they've never seen anything like it. Like, they don't see a lot of violence over there. So these guys are running, presumably, through the neighborhood to try and get away from the cops. There are police chasing these guys on foot into these neighborhoods. Eventually, they get into the backyard of a house where they thought they saw this guy run through the yard. When they're in the backyard, they see this woman standing in the backyard next door to them, adjacent to them, and she's got a gun in her hands. That's Jillian Lorne, the wife of the basis. And they claim that they told her to drop the gun and that she then pointed the gun at them. So when she pointed the gun at them, they shot her. Now, they shot her in the shoulder, so she'd be okay, but they arrested her. There's footage.
When she got shot, then she went back inside.
Right, yeah, she didn't immediately, like...
Well, she gets shot, and then she goes back inside, they gotta go in and get her.
Yeah, didn't exactly, like, just give up. And now, honestly, if you watch the video, when they pull her out there, I don't know if you saw the helicopter video of her on the street, when they were saying she was shot, I was like, man, she seems like she's doing okay, but I guess she must be, because they say she got shot in the shoulder, and she did bond out. It was $1 million bond, but she did bond out of jail. What about the suspects? Well, they caught one of them. I think last I heard, two of them were still at large. The suspect that they caught was in his underwear in someone's backyard, sitting there in his boxer shorts. So the whole story is totally bizarre, and I don't know if they ended up catching the other two guys or not. The big part of the story is Jillian, of course.
Neighbors on Eagle Vista Drive in Eagle Rock reacting to the LAPD shooting and arrest of the 51-year-old wife of Weezer band member Scott Schreiner after police activity nearby on the 134 freeway. Three suspects Tuesday being chased by police ran into the Eagle Rock neighborhood. The LAPD says Schreiner, who was not involved in the chase, came out of her home with a gun. The officers ordered Schreiner to drop the handgun numerous times. Instead, they say she pointed the weapon at officers and they opened fire. Schreiner was shot in the shoulder but not seriously injured. Although police are not saying if Schreiner fired her weapon, she now has been charged with attempted murder.
So obviously, we'd like to see the body cam.
Matt Sharp's wife would never.
Right, I know, of course. Weezer purist over there. But I would like to see the body cam footage now. I imagine, so, okay, you know, this is a gun country. You're allowed to protect your home. You see people running through yards. You hear commotion. Then you see guys running through yards, and you think, oh, my God, these guys are maybe hiding in my backyard. Yeah, I'm in fear for my life. They might try and break into my house. It doesn't seem unreasonable. You've got a handgun. I just imagine a scenario where the cops are now chasing someone. Obviously, they are on high adrenaline mode. And they've got their guns out, I would assume, as they're chasing these guys. They look over and see someone with a gun. That's a dangerous situation, right? And look, I'm not saying that the cops are lying. Maybe she turned and pointed the gun at the cops.
Right.
But was it because she didn't know who was yelling? She didn't know who just showed up? Did the cops run around the corner and shoot, as soon as she saw bodies, she pointed her handgun over there in case it, you know, was bad guys? I'm curious. It's, you know, it's a weird story, a very weird story. It's also weird that, you know, if this had happened in Florida, we would have known about it within an hour or two. This happened on Tuesday, and it really didn't hit the news until last night and this morning that people started talking about it. Now she's bonded out, but like the fact that she's being charged and everything, I don't know if that'll stick, but it's a crazy story. I think it would be a crazy story even if she
wasn't. The police said they told her to put the gun down.
That's what they say. They say that they told her to put the gun down.
I'm not saying you have to believe cops all the time, but the story that we know so far is that she came out with a gun. She pointed around. They said, hey, drop the weapon.
Yep.
And she didn't do it.
No, that she did the opposite. That she not only didn't drop it, that she then pointed the weapon at officers. So that's my question. Like, it does seem odd that someone, If I've got my handgun in my backyard because I think there's criminals running around and trying to break into houses or get away from the cops, and I'm trying to protect my home, if the cops come running up because I know there's some sort of police chase going on, I would not point my gun at them. The only way that I would point my gun at the cops in that situation is if, like I said, they come around the corner and I just see bodies and I think, is that the bad guy? And then immediately, like, you know, drop the weapon, drop the weapon. But then they start shooting. We've seen those videos a million times. It's like, they say drop the weapon at the same time that they're firing. Again, I'm not saying I don't believe him yet. It's just one of those where I would like to see the body cam, because I think it would be a crazy story on its own. The fact that she's the wife of the bassist from Weezer.
She's got her own fame.
Yeah, she's an author.
I know she was in a harem because she wrote a book about it. That was wildly popular.
She is an author. I think she's written a couple things. And like I said, I watched her in that Starz docuseries, Confronting a Serial Killer.
He was like, you want to know about the first one? It took me a minute to realize he's confessing. Sam Little is the most prolific serial killer in American history.
So she was like, I kind of thought she might become, after watching that thing about Sam Little, I got the impression she was one of these like kind of true crime junkies, you know? And I don't follow her that closely. But the fact that I am aware of her, I've seen her before, I've looked her up and gone, oh, she's married too, you know? And so she is, like you said, she does have fame on her own, not just from being married to this guy. But
she may be more famous than the bassist of Weezer.
That could be.
Like, I mean, I don't know many people know the bassist of Weezer.
Right. I mean, they know Weezer. Right.
But they don't know the name. It's bassist, not Rivers' wife.
Right. If you say bassist, how many people know what that guy looks like? You know?
Not many.
I liked him when I was a kid, so I know when they got the new bass player, and I know what he looks like, but I think I'm in the minority
exactly.
there. So, and... you know, not saying that she's a huge celebrity, but she does have some fame. It's a crazy story. I don't know what the craziest part is. I would say the single craziest part is her allegedly being told to drop the weapon by police and then pointing the gun at the police. I mean, that is crazy because I just try and put myself in that situation and think, what's going through this person's head? Like, did she think they weren't really cops? Did she, you know, why would you point the weapon at
even
police?
Even if there are, I mean, there's nothing wrong with being in your backyard with a gun, but if there's cops back there, then you probably, I mean, it's not like they were undercover cops.
No, exactly.
Right? So you see cops, you're like, oh, goddamn, go back in your house.
Right. So,
like, I don't know why you're pointing the weapon around now.
Well, that was my thing. If there's been choppers and all this commotion and people are saying, like, these guys are running through our neighborhood.
She could go outside and be like, hey, somebody's going to try to break into my house. But once you see cops.
That's it.
Then you're like, oh, I'll go back inside. The cops got it.
Yeah, I see how she comes outside with the gun is what I'm saying. In this country, I totally get it. I don't think that's weird at all.
No.
But what's weird is seeing the cops and then pointing the gun at the cops after they tell you to drop it. I don't know. It's nuts. So we'll see. I mean, they don't have a court date or anything like that yet. They just said that she bonded out on $1 million. So I will be interested to see where that goes. Obviously, I'd say the single biggest story in this country, maybe internationally yesterday, we talked about Trump pausing the tariffs yesterday. The stock market has skyrocketed. So if you guys know how to play the stock market and you bought, I don't know. I don't know how to play the stock market. Maybe you bought NVIDIA cheap or whatever got cheap. Maybe you're doing pretty good today. But they wanted to know, why did Trump decide to do this? Yesterday he just announced it. No one knew that he was going to announce this 90-day pause. Why did he do it? Well, reports say they now know why he did it, and it involves him getting very scared about the bond market, specifically the bond market that they were sitting around watching that go bad, and they got panicked.
President Trump himself acknowledged, he said he was watching the markets, including the bond market, that it was making people, in his words, queasy. And privately, our reporting shows that inside this building, that dramatic bond sell-off, the bond market's supposed to be a safe haven for investors, that really caused some advisors here to be in a near panic, according to a senior administration official. That, of course, was causing real concern about a potential loss of confidence in the United States financial system, and also about a potential economic crisis, and this one would ultimately have been produced by one man, by the president himself.
That's exactly what Lazo was talking about yesterday and really the day before, is it's kind of like a game of chicken. He doesn't want to bring down the economy. I mean, I don't think... Conspiracy theorists might believe that.
He's terrified of being Herbert Hoover.
Right, exactly.
He talks about 1929 a lot.
Exactly. So, but like Lazo said, if he believed in this tariff thing and knew, like he was saying, look, you're a sick patient, it'll take a while to rebound, I'm with Lazo. I think he must have believed that it was the right thing to do and that he was going to hold because he kept saying, no, we're not going to pause this. We're sticking with these. And then he paused it, and it's because of that bond market. And it is kind of interesting to think about a bunch of people standing in a room, and they're talking to the president of the United States, and they're watching the stock market. And the stock market's already been hurt over the last few days. But then specifically, they see something, doesn't matter what it is. In this instance, it's the bond market, but they see something where they get panicked. And he says, queasy. Queasy. Right.
Excuse me, sir.
I think I'm going to throw up. Imagine that. I mean, he said somebody was getting queasy. So, and then you go, okay, maybe we need to put a pause on these. Michelle Obama and Barack Obama are not divorced. They were not divorced. They didn't split up. She was on a podcast. Someone named Sophia Bush. Am I supposed to know who Sophia Bush is?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
She has a podcast, and Michelle Obama was on it, and she says people just create these rumors out of nowhere. Her and Barack are fine.
This year, people were, you know, they couldn't even fathom that I was making a choice for myself, that they had to assume that my husband and I are divorcing. You know, that is she, it, this uh-huh. couldn't be a grown woman just making a set of decisions for herself, right?
This is because, remember, Barack Obama showed up to these things like Carter's funeral, and there were a couple different events where he showed up and she wasn't there, and there were rumors that she didn't want to be in the room with Trump. I don't know, but apparently there were also rumors that they were breaking up. I don't really see that news, so I didn't know that, but she's letting you know now they're fine. And finally, Snowcone's favorite news story, Koberger, they had their big day yesterday in court. It was their final day for like the defense and prosecutors to decide which evidence will be allowed at trial. The trial is coming up in August. This is the guy who's accused of killing those college students in Idaho. And the defense had kind of a big revelation yesterday because they say, hey, we think we have a suspect.
A marathon hearing before a judge in Boise, Idaho, answering some key questions about what evidence jurors may see when Brian Koberger's murder trial begins in August, raising some new questions, including Koberger's attorneys suggesting they've identified another suspect.
We came across a tip that would appear to be an alternate suspect, and we're trying to work through that as rapidly as we can.
There you go, Lazo. Nice. They've got a tip that someone else did it, and they're looking into it. So, yeah. Snowcone, you were so convinced that Koberger was guilty, and now, look at you. You didn't wait. You
egg
didn't wait for
face.
All the evidence to be
egg
presented.
On my
egg
face.
Egg on your face.
The Church of Laszlo.
What were you talking about? People trading their babies for monkeys in Missouri?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll see it. You'll probably see this
easier
headline
to
somewhere.
Care for.
You see it on social media. You see it in the news. Unfortunately, there's headlines.
Smarter.
Let's say a Missouri woman traded her daughter
better educated.
For a monkey. It's actually a sad story.
That's a shot
story.
At your schools, Missouri.
This is, she was outside St. Louis, so I'll blame it on that.
Oh.
This woman seems like a pretty bad woman. Her name's Brenda Deutsch. I mean, based on what I'm reading. Is she bad? I don't know, but she doesn't look good in these stories.
What do you mean?
She's
like,
70
she's
years
hot?
Old. Well, she's not hot, and she seems like... She seems like she's a piece
Why,
of...
Why, she got a baby at 70.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get
Real
to that.
Real hussy.
So,
yeah. Those eggs don't work. That ain't her baby.
Right. No.
Dudes can have a baby at 70 because dudes are awesome.
Yeah.
Chicks are like obsolete after 36. Like, what up?
Jesus.
And we don't even need you any... Like, what are you... What's your purpose? Except to just stand around and like...
No,
get black dudes arrested in the park. Like, what are you doing?
They're supposed to raise...
Nothing.
They're supposed to raise the kids.
They're doing nothing.
They're supposed to raise the kids. Dudes are supposed to keep making them. I remember my ex asking one time, like, why do guys, do they keep making sperm? I'm like, yes. Mm. Our purpose is to keep going. Yours is to slow down, you know?
Yeah.
And she's like, when? I'm like now. Yeah. You know, you're basically done.
You're replaceable.
Yeah, I'm just getting started.
Got nothing.
I got two or three, four wives ahead of me. So
yeah, I gotta go spread my seed.
So this woman, she's 70. She's not attractive. She was a foster parent. And this stuff freaks me out about the foster care system. It seems like it's just as bad as it is in the movies and the TV shows where you see these houses full of kids where it's dirty and they're, you know, accusing these foster parents of doing it for the money. And I always wonder, like, is that really how it works? I hope that there's a better system in place. I hope that these foster parents are looking.
Well, they're like, well, they do it for the money. Well, the house is crappy and it's not clean.
Exactly.
So how much money are they getting?
Exactly. That's my thing. Like, it's not getting
like I could do
this.
A lot of things for money.
Right.
Like, almost anything.
Yeah.
But I would just My house would be clean if I had a ton of money.
Yeah, and why would raising a kid be an easier job than just getting a different job? You know what I mean? Like, it's not like it's free money. Here, take care of these kids, make sure they go to school, make sure they're fed.
You could really, really slack off on the raising the kids thing.
They do.
I mean, you could just be like, go to the bus by yourself.
Yeah.
Get off the bus when you get home.
You're right. It's easier than a 9-to-5, I suppose.
Mean, maybe you just have to, like, even just minimal stuff in the refrigerator. That's it.
Yeah, play the same Disney DVDs over and
whatever,
over.
Don't
whatever.
Care.
Yeah. Just don't talk to me, kid. Okay? You go take care of your fake brothers and sisters. Yeah. So this woman, she had...
If you wanted a real mom, you should have, you know, been born by a real mom.
They said that this woman has fostered...
You're here because your mom didn't want you. Well, I don't want you either, but... They're going to give me money to have you.
Okay, cool. I'm getting a little harsh here. I mean...
I'm just saying that's how they feel.
Well, of course.
Not all of them, obviously.
There's different situations.
But it sounds like that's what, you know, that's it.
And in the movies and the TV shows, that's what's going on. It's always this terrible situation. And I always think, I hope that there's regulations in place that this doesn't actually happen. They say this woman fostered over 200 children, or around 200 children, over the past 20 years. That's a lot.
That's 10 a year.
That's a lot of kids.
If you do the math.
Yeah, that's a lot of kids, right? I mean, it seems like a lot to me. 20 years at my age doesn't feel like that long now. You and I have worked together 20 years. The thought of having 200 kids that were under my care
You're
in that
probably
time.
Probably pretty close over that time of the way you chicks.
Okay. I hope you're looking at Snow Cone. So anyway, she's fostered 200 kids. We got to get to the monkey part. The Lincoln County prosecuting attorney, he's been on the news. His name's Mike Wood. He claimed in an interview that the foster mother's alleged abuse of this young girl was not an isolated incident. They had reports that she was maybe, you know, abusing these kids. They also had a teacher who said this kid has gone missing. Where is this kid? Well, it is now speculated, rumored from a couple of unnamed sources that this foster mom took this teen girl down to Texas, dropped her off with some friend in, some part of Texas, dropped her off in Texas, and this woman in Texas happens to have monkeys and chimps.
Okay.
I don't know how many, but the Missouri mom says, hey, bring me back one of those monkeys. You take the kid. I want one of those monkeys. I don't know if this is true. The prosecuting attorney doesn't know
if
it's true.
That doesn't sound like it's a trade.
But that's what right, exactly.
Like, it's not like I trade
you. It doesn't sound like it happened even at the same
monkey.
Time.
It's just like, hey, you want this kid? I got an extra.
Right.
And then the lady's like, I got monkeys. You're going to have one of these if you want.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like I didn't trade you a Miller Lite for a shot of whiskey. I just happen to have Miller Lights and you happen to have whiskey. It's not a quid pro quo thing. It's
agreed.
Just, you know, we have these extra things. You got extra monkeys. I got extra kids.
And especially if it's not even at the same time, which maybe it was. But the way that these witnesses described this, I didn't feel like they were saying specifically that there was a swap. Here's the kid, here's the monkey. It sounded to me like the woman in Texas happened to have some non-human apes hanging out there. I don't know how many. And the woman in Missouri's like,
I
want one. Well, we're apes, right?
So, oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, and she says, because I don't know if she had chimps or monkeys. And she says, hey, I want one of those.
Is that what we are?
We're apes, yeah. But I don't know if this was a chimp or a monkey. There's no way. I mean, what are we? We're just saying we're saying what scientists say. It's just something. It's just something they come up with. But yeah, we're great apes, right?
We're great apes.
This woman's
like
a great ape. Yeah. This woman definitely makes me think that we're apes. Anyhow, she got the monkey. Did she trade it for the kid?
School resource officer at a Lincoln County school noticed a student missing. According to charging documents, Deutsch requested to take a girl in her care to her friend's home in Texas. The child was often left alone there in dirty living conditions with exotic animals, which Wood said Deutsch collects. The attorney explaining a monkey was potentially exchanged.
A witness who had come forward had said that they had been asked to bring the child down to Texas and then bring the monkey back in return.
If they did it at the same time like that, if this person actually transported the child down to Texas, and once she got to the house where they were dropping this girl off, got a monkey and brought it back to Missouri, Lazo, I think that's trading a kid for a monkey. I mean, if that's the way it went down, now, sure. She didn't necessarily say, I'll trade you. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But if the driver, whoever this unnamed driver is, actually took the kid down there and came back with a monkey, that does kind of sound like she traded the kid for a monkey.
I'm not sure about that.
I the whole thing's a little
like I don't
sus,
I think we're
right?
just you know we're arguing semantics now. It doesn't really matter, but I don't know that she literally traded.
I agree.
She just was like, "Give me an ape."
You know, I want a monkey.
Like, give me a kid.
They like exotic animals. Clearly, they like exotic animals. And they may have traded animals in the past. We don't know. She could have sold this other woman animals back and forth. Who knows? But it does sound like, according to at least one of these people, that the child was driven down there by someone, and that someone picked up a monkey when they dropped the girl off and came back with the monkey.
Yeah.
So it makes for a good headline. Missouri woman trades
probably,
child for monkey.
You know, I get why you say trade. It's probably, you know, like, I get it.
It makes a better headline. But
and it's also, you probably did trade it.
Maybe. It's possible. Maybe you said, hey, but why does the person want the kid? You want a teenage girl? A troubled teenage girl? Hey, bring me that. I'll give you a monkey if you bring me that troubled teenage girl that's not supposed to be here.
Well,
I don't know.
Snowcone's dad traded him for a blackjack table.
That's true.
That's true.
That's
like,
true.
Like, I mean, so at least this was an animate object of some sort.
Yeah, I don't know. But the concerning thing here really is why is the foster care system so messed up? I mean, you should foster some kids. People like
why
you.
Why should I?
People like you.
I have two kids.
I know.
You foster one.
I'm saying people like you should
why don't
foster,
you foster
kids.
One.
I have a pretty serious drug problem, and I don't want the kids getting into that stuff.
The Church of Laszlo.
You ever called 911 before? I feel like, what do you think? Most people by the time they're middle-aged have called 911 at some point or not?
Yeah, I did not too long ago.
You did?
Yeah.
Why did you call 911 not too long ago?
Well, I was
too many...
White Claws?
No, too many White Claws.
You just called to talk to someone?
No, that's the suicide hotline. No,
You couldn't remember the number, so you called 911.
It's like 988 or something.
Our
no,
suicide. We'll go look
down,
for your notes.
The highway... right, like on 635, like right as you get into downtown, right? And on the side of the road is this silver car. Looks like it's broken down. There's a guy and a girl outside, like by the trunk, and they're throwing hands at each other.
Oh, they're punching each other?
Yeah, like hitting each other hard. And he hits her, and she like falls back, like almost in the traffic.
Okay.
So I called 911. I was like, I'm not stopping because Laszlo, you know, has taught me not to get involved. So I was like, call 911. Yeah.
Sounds like it was over.
What are you going to do?
Sounds like it was
jump
over.
Out of that car and get your ass kicked?
Oh, no. I wasn't. But, I mean, it was getting very physical.
Yeah. I was behind a car once, actually. That reminds me of a time. I was behind an SUV, and I could see through the back glass, and I saw the guy driving. He turns around and starts punching this kid in the middle, you know, in the back seat.
Right.
I could see him right through the window, and I was like, what do I do? You know,
yeah.
I did pull up and try and get a better look, and sure enough, as I drive past him, he's still screaming, and he's reaching back and, like, you know, grabbing this kid and thrashing him around.
Yeah.
So what do? You call 911 and give a license plate, and then you have to be a witness? I was, like, 20. I was just like, that sucks. I can't beat the guy up, and I'm not going to call 911. But I've called 911.
You're not going to call 911. Why?
Because I feel like if I call 911 and say, hey, here's a license plate, this guy, I see him beating his kid. Then if they look into that, they would probably need you as a witness, right, to say you witness this.
I don't know
how it works. Exactly. Just stay out of it. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think they need you as a witness. I think they pull over and see the kid getting beat up.
Yeah,
and
I can't fix this broken world.
And if
world,
you need to be a witness, then be a witness.
Well, I don't think they're going to call you, like call you back from the 911 call.
No, when I called about the car, I was like, look, here, it's right here on this, you know.
Yeah, that
exit,
I feel like, yeah.
Good luck, whatever.
Yeah.
You could have done the same thing.
I know I could have, but I was young and I just didn't want to get
involved. You probably got traded for a monkey because you didn't take any...
You're a dick.
Yeah, I mean, you're a bad person.
Seriously.
I never said I wasn't.
Well, I'm just saying, you watched a kid get beat and did nothing.
I was. If I was big enough, I would have tried to scare him. If I wished I was as big as my brother because I would have pulled up and said, take your hands off the kid. It wouldn't have helped.
But you could have called the police.
Yes, I could have called the police, but I didn't know if that meant that I
was
being abused. To get involved.
And you were like, meh.
There's children getting abused all the time.
Who cares if you had to get involved?
They're bad people. I was young. I have a drug problem.
Stop for a while.
I don't need the cops talking to me. Anyhow, there's been, you know, a lot of talk about 911s. You hear people in big cities complain about wait times. Like in New York, there was a period, I don't know if that's still a thing, where you call 911 and it had like a menu, like you're calling
how
the pharmacy.
How was a kid getting beat that you just decided to ignore?
It's hard to tell. And I don't know a lot about kids, but I would say he was probably 8 or 9.
Oh,
my God.
So, yeah.
Something like that. He's almost big enough to start hitting him back.
Yeah,
years.
Okay. So you're like, you'll be fine, kid.
No, but, you know, I guess he'll have some sort of character that I don't have. I don't know. You know, it's... It's what makes the world go round. I wish people didn't hit their kids. It makes me very angry. Abusing animals.
You're not doing anything about it.
I can't do anything about it.
You could have called the police.
You think the Kansas City cops are going to go find that license plate and go find that guy? I don't.
I think if you say, I saw a dude beating his kid at this license plate, do I think they speed there? Maybe not, but do I think they follow up on it? Absolutely.
I think
Do I think they send Child Protective Services to the house to check it out or see if the kid's been beaten? Do I think they stop by school maybe and just say, hey, what's up with this kid? Yeah, I think all those things
happen. So you know what happens?
You know what I think happened now?
He got beat.
His friends went to his funeral. That's what
He's
I think happened.
Dead.
Okay, so I call 911. Child Protective Services coming. You know what they do? They put him with the monkey lady. She's the foster mother in Missouri. 200 kids in 20 years, so that's where he goes. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, it's like...
Well, I mean, it was going to...
Choose your
poison. I mean,
maybe
neglected, but he wasn't, you know, not getting his ass kicked.
Right. Well, it's the whole reason the monkey mom got the police called on her in the first place. It wasn't because of the monkey trade. It was because she was abusing kids.
You're making a good point.
If I were bigger, I would have... Yes, I do.
I mean, there is
the system's
no really
broken. You can go to an orphanage where you get...
They don't have those anymore. It's not
either
Russia.
Or.
I can't fix it, Snowcone. I wish I could. I wish I were bigger. I would have scared him. There's been plenty of times. But, you know, I ran it through my head and thought, well, that's really a bad situation.
Just let this kid keep getting beat.
I just thought, I hope that doesn't happen all the time. Anyhow, there's some dispute, some controversy about a particular 911 call recently in the state of Georgia. I don't know if you've heard about this. It involves McDonald's. Have you seen this?
No.
Okay, well, I'll tell you about it in just a second.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
All right. So I'm going to tell you about a guy named Dylan. Dylan Johnson, that's him, Laszlo. You can join us, twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo. He's got a Bass Pro hat.
Right.
And he's from Georgia. He was trying to report a possible break-in in his home.
He's a big fella.
Yeah. He looks like a guy who could take care of business, right? Yeah. And apparently he was on his way to work or at work. It's early in the morning. His wife calls him and says, hey, there's somebody prowling around the house.
Oh, boy.
I'm afraid somebody's trying to break into the house. How does she know?
Yeah.
I think she, like, heard it. She thought she saw someone or heard someone. That's what it sounded like. She thought that someone was maybe trying to break in. And they've got a little kid. And so she was scared. And so he calls 911. Well, the trouble starts there because he actually called the non-emergency line first. Mm-hmm. Apparently that wasn't working out. So then he calls, which I would think if you think someone's breaking the house, you go straight to 911. But then he tries calling 911.
It could have been like my wife's at home. She thinks she hears something. It happens every once in a while. Do you guys mind checking it out?
Sure.
Right? Like, I don't think it's anything.
He said on TV, he said, I was panicking. I was panicking. My wife was home alone with my 5-month-old daughter. And
she's just acting all crazy.
Not
later,
knowing.
Like,
but,
oh, God, there's someone in the house. Like, it's wind, bitch. So, what do you want me to do?
Right, it is 9:30 in the morning. But anyhow, it's probably a monkey. But anyhow, he calls 911 eventually. I guess he can't get through to 911. They have some sort of issue. Maybe this is a known issue in this part of Georgia.
What?
Where no one's
breaking in at 9:30?
No one's answering the phone at 911.
No one answers the phone at 911?
That's what he's accusing them
of. That's a known issue?
That they've had problems with. On the local news.
With no answer?
On the local news down there, they said, we've reported on issues with 911 dispatch in the past.
Boy.
And they're like, now we have a new one for you. So it sounds like they must have had some previous issues.
Were they like, leave a message or does it just keep ringing? I don't know what happens.
I don't either. He showed his phone on TV to prove, here's the log, here's how many times I called 911 before somebody answered. But he did get someone to answer. That's really where the story begins. The fact that it was hard to get someone to answer 911 isn't the story. The story is that he does get a dispatcher on the phone. He tells the dispatcher, hey, I think there could be someone trying to break into my house. I'm not there, but my wife is there with my 5-month-old daughter. And after he tells the dispatcher that, the dispatcher possibly, allegedly, orders McDonald's. So that's what you'll see, is that a dispatcher ordered McDonald's while on the phone with this guy here. You do hear this person. It sounds like they're ordering a McGriddle.
This Valentine's Day, Dylan Johnson started his morning by calling 911.
My wife called me while I was at work at about 9:30 and said someone was snooping around the house, knocking on the doors, banging on the windows and stuff.
He called the county's non-emergency line first, followed by 911 three times, finally getting an answer after trying for about 6 minutes.
So I was panicking because, my wife is home alone with my 5-month-old daughter, and I was, coming home not knowing what I was going to come home to.
After about 3 minutes into Johnson's 911 call, you can hear the dispatcher talking to others around her and appearing to order breakfast.
Uh-huh. Hey, McGriddle.
What?
Sorry, what?
If it didn't happen to me, I wouldn't believe it that happened to someone else.
All right, now keep in mind, they're 3 minutes into the 911 call. I don't know what's going on now. She could have already dispatched officers to the scene, whatever. I don't know. You know, they say stay on the phone with me. A coworker walks by. I'm just imagining this is what happened. Coworker walks by. They got their pad with their pen. They know that you're taking breakfast orders. They're ordering McDonald's this morning. Maybe they do it every morning. What do you want from McDonald's today, Stacey? And she says, uh-huh, McGriddle. I mean, is it a huge deal? It's not great.
Order breakfast.
But... uh-huh. McGriddle. Sorry, what?
Okay, so she ordered breakfast.
If it didn't happen to me, I wouldn't.
That's not good. That's not good. When you combine it with the fact that he called 911 and it took him that long to get through to 911, it is not good that they're ordering breakfast. I don't know how it works. Maybe they're underpaid and overworked at the dispatch office there in Georgia, but... that's the scandal, is that a Georgia dispatch officer ordered McDonald's. It also sounded like when
why
you heard
she
that.
Ordering on the phone? What was that?
I think she was, because the story makes it sound, you're thinking like, what, is she on her cell phone?
Right.
Taking 911 calls, driving through McDonald's? No, I think a coworker walked by and was taking McDonald's orders.
Oh,
that was my, that's, okay. That was my, because I went through different scenarios.
Because like, it sounded like she was on the phone, like.
Right.
I know it was a recorded call, but it sounded right. Like she was on another call.
She could have been. And
but how do you order on the phone?
And I thought maybe she would, well, she could have been talking to someone else in the office, right? I wondered if someone else was going to go pick up McDonald's.
I think that's probably.
And that's the thing that made the most sense to me, because there's no way that 911 would go to her cell phone.
DoorDash,
if it does go to their cell phone and she's at the drive-thru at McDonald's, then we got a real scandal on our hands. Also, it sounded like if you listen to him, you know, they quote him from that story in these articles, but I think they misquote him, because I think it sounds like he says someone we know was banging on the doors. So, like, someone that's what it sounded to me like he said, someone we know. In the article, it says someone, you know, was banging on the doors. I think it sounds like he said it's someone he knows. Anyway, seems like kind of a scary situation, short of McGriddle. The real scandal here is the McGriddle. I get the sausage biscuit. Sausage egg biscuit or sausage biscuit.
I'm not a biscuit guy.
You got to go sausage.
Sausage McMuffin. Why are you getting a biscuit?
I love the biscuit. What's wrong with the biscuit?
Well, the McMuffin's the deal.
I go burritos.
Egg McMuffin.
Sausage, you go breakfast burritos? This is what my mom does.
Why not just go to Taco Bell?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's still hard to think of those places sometimes about breakfast.
Taco Bell?
Like, I'm old, so I still forget. Someone's like, oh, yeah, those places. I'm old enough that if I'm out and about early in the morning when I think breakfast,
I
know McDonald's.
McDonald's, yeah.
Wendy's.
I know other places has it, but I just default.
Doesn't
to
like Subway do it now, too?
Chick-fil-A's.
Well, I don't know, but if I was thinking of what I really want as a breakfast burrito, I'd think Taco Bell.
Yeah, yeah. I don't mess with
I like McDonald's.
I don't mess with the. Breakfast burrito. It's fine. But I mean, that sausage biscuit.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Guy. Are you guys mad at this woman or not?
I'm mad at that you think the biscuit's better than McMuffin.
Well, I mean, it's better. It's a biscuit. I don't. What do you mean you don't like biscuits? You just don't ever
English
like biscuits?
I would rather have an English muffin.
You want something? You want to put some jam on it? Make it sweet? Something like that?
No, I like an English muffin.
All right.
With butter on it, maybe some cream cheese. I don't know. Sausage, egg, of course.
It's sausage.
I don't like a McGriddle, though. I don't want a sandwich made out of pancakes.
I don't even want to talk about that thing. I know people order it, but it's not. Well, how does that become
it's
your
ridiculous.
Thing? It must be something you're introduced to as a child.
Right.
And you develop
it once,
a taste for it.
Because it's a novelty, and then you realize it sucks.
I've never tried it.
People
I've never tasted it.
That's fine.
Never
I'm
tasted it.
I'm happy about
wrong.
That. People are disagreeing with you. They say it's also, take this, it's from the guy who doesn't like grilled cheese.
That's true.
It doesn't help children when they're being beat.
That's true.
That's all biscuit stuff.
Like, that to me. I like, did the right thing.
Personality is biscuit
the biscuit
stuff.
Guy?
Hey, biscuit stuff.
Acting like a biscuit guy.
Yeah, you're like, oh, that guy doesn't help children if they get beaten. He doesn't like grilled cheese. And people just look at you and go, biscuit guy. You a biscuit guy? You go to McDonald's and get the biscuit?
That's biscuit stuff.
The Church of Laszlo.
So remember, like in the last, I don't know, month or so, they've been talking about Firefest 2. It should be.
I remember them talking about it. I remember you talking about it a lot.
Oh yeah, well,
it's starting to make me angry.
Okay, well,
like, no one else is talking about this.
I see it everywhere.
Where do you go? Where do you go to see it?
YouTube,
news, biscuit stuff. You see a lot of talk about it?
No, I literally only hear about it here.
Right, exactly. No one's ever mentioned it to me. No one else
here.
Is aware of it. You know how
no
you find it? Because you type into Google Firefest.
I see it on Good Morning America and the Today Show.
Same
that's
way
where
you get
I see
this poo
it.
Poo news every day.
I don't
you
get
go searching
look,
for
there
it.
Is poo news every day. That's not because of me. Just like there's news about that country guy every day. I don't have to report on
Jelly
it sometimes.
Roll.
Jelly Roll. There's news about that guy every day. I don't talk about it. The Fyre Fest thing, I thought maybe you were interested because you put on concerts before.
Jesus Christ, I was the first time you did it. We've been talking about it once every 2 days for three goddamn months.
Well, because now there's nothing.
Like, I get it. I've given the point. Like, it's hard to do it. Probably not going to do it.
Well, there...
cities don't want him there.
Yeah.
Guy's probably trying to scam people. We've got Antonio Brown there. He's the only person to say he's going to be there. He's been to two different places in Mexico. Both of the city commissioners say he doesn't have any permits.
Yep.
What else do you got?
So now they've got an artist who was, confirmed to perform at Fyre Fest. Someone I've never heard of, a DJ named Francesca Keller, but I'm not into DJs. She says that they reached out for her
Francesca
to perform Fyre
Keller,
Fest.
That's, that, you know what? We got to bring it up.
DJ Francesca Keller released a statement. The story is that she's exposing what's going on at Fyre Fest.
Right.
She's dropped
DJ
out.
DJ Francesca Keller is like, hey,
she says,
I was confirmed to play this bitch.
Yeah.
And people are like, who the f- are you?
Well, yeah, I definitely am. But
right.
She says,
DJ, and you're like, hey, she says she you got, know what? We wouldn't be doing the show justice if we didn't mention it.
She says she got...
Let's give us its own goddamn segment.
All right, you know what? Just forget it. Just forget it.
Well, how can we now?
Well,
how,
easily.
Like to, can you play
easily.
DJ Francesca Keller?
I'll pull it up.
I'd like to hear it.
Good luck finding
you
it
know
out.
It? Yeah.
No, I've never heard of her before.
She released a press statement and everybody's talking about it.
She was on the Today Show.
She was. Good Morning America. I had Francesca Keller on this morning.
They're talking about her talking to Billy, the founder.
Sure.
And they found out, he posted the permits that he has, because he says, no, you guys are all making fun of me, but I do have permits. He posted the permits, and the permit is for him to basically reserve a room at a nightclub that fits 200 people from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. or something like that. That's the permit. So Fyre Fest 2.
That's where Francesca Keller is going to play.
I don't know. She said, I'm not doing
did
this.
Did you find Francesca Keller?
She did
I'm
say,
looking for
she
her.
Did say
yeah, there's
she,
no way to find
look,
Francesca
and also
Keller.
She says
no,
that.
Wait, here, I found a SoundCloud.
She says she heard about the other artists that were on that
oh,
had
yeah,
been
who
confirmed.
Were they?
She said she'd never heard of any of them.
Oh,
so
well,
that's
never
the
heard
update.
Of her either.
Of course, that's who he's got booked. Is that's the news? He does have artists booked. You haven't heard of any of them, and the room that he has booked holds 200 people. That's Fyre Fest 2. Well, that was enough. We get the idea. You heard it.
Hey, I thought you know, good story.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel like you helped. So thank you.
The Church of Laszlo.
What the hell's going on?
Okay, now Laszlo, if you try and tell me that you didn't watch this doc,
Christ, I thought we were done.
We are after this. If you try and tell me you didn't watch this documentary, we'll get mad because I know you watched it. We talked about it. Remember?
Oh, you're going to
get
mad at me?
Huh? What'd you say?
You're going to get mad at me?
I'll get frustrated because earlier you tried pretending like you didn't watch the chimp documentary on HBO. Trying to be cool, pretending like you didn't watch that stupid chimp thing on HBO.
I
didn't
watch the chimp documentary.
He watched.
I know. I know you watched that Paramount documentary. I think you watched it before me. It was called Control Alt Desire, and I think you'll remember when you see this guy's
Control
face.
Alt Desire.
Grant Amato, okay? He's a dorky looking bald fellow, right?
I've never seen him before
he
in my
is,
life.
He is. See this? I'll tell you
You're
the story.
You get frustrated with me? Because I've never seen that.
I'll
dude.
Tell you the story, and you'll, I think you'll remember. He, like you, liked to get on, you know, sexy webcam websites, right?
Yeah.
He liked to
it's
look at
favorite.
Chicks on webcams. His too. He loved it. But
I
he,
love
he,
it.
But unlike you,
but I love it.
I know
I love
you,
it more.
You love it the right way.
We'll see.
I think you love it the right way.
I've never seen this story, by the way.
He fell in love with a girl on.
So have I.
Cam. It wasn't on Camp Soda, but on a webcam.
Yeah.
And kept going to that one particular girl. It became a monogamous cam relationship. You would never do such a thing.
I but have favorites.
But wouldn't that defeat the purpose of the? The selection on Cam Soda.
I don't know.
Right?
If you find something you like.
You know, and then you just stick with it and you can become obsessed.
You go back every once in a while. Don't you have a favorite porn star?
Yeah, but
no,
I'll look
know,
at other
Yeah,
concerts.
Of course you look at other stuff, but you know, hey, when in doubt, you probably go to the one you like, right?
Yeah. Well, this guy fell in love. Full on in love, like no doubt about it. He thought that they were going to be together. This was the love of his life, and she definitely kind of allowed him to believe that.
Of course, because you pay.
He was paying a lot of money.
Like, a guy I know went, used to go to a strip club.
Yeah.
And he would, like, hang out with this girl and talk to her or whatever, and he would say, like, you know, oh, what we have is different. And then even at one point, he, like, bought her a car.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Because she didn't have any way to get to and from work or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I mean, there's a lot of girls in the strip club, but he kind of fell in love with just one.
Yeah.
And she kind of let him on and let him buy her a car.
I've got a buddy who believes when girls are flirting with them at the strip club that they're actually into them.
Yeah, that guy's
I have
you.
To tell him all the time. I'm like, hey.
You have to tell yourself that?
We were in a strip club.
Remember the car you bought for the stripper.
We were in a strip club.
To keep a picture of it up there?
You know, trying to do something nice for someone who's in a tough spot.
Yeah, you won't call the cops on a kid getting beat, but you buy a car for a stripper.
So.
Then again, like you said earlier, you got a drug problem, so
she had a kid, you know,
and the biscuits.
She needed to
buy strippers' cars.
She needed to provide for that
kids
kid.
Get beat.
I was basically buying a kid a car, is what I was doing, so that kid could get to and from school and doctor.
Kid, did she?
Yeah, she had a kid.
Oh.
Yeah, she probably shouldn't have, but yeah, she had a
yours?
Kid. No, not mine.
All right.
So this guy, he falls in love, full on in love. There's been a bunch of specials about him, but Paramount. Plus did a documentary called Control Alt Desire.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
And
honest.
He fell in love with this girl. And
are
then,
you getting mad at me? Because I've never seen
no,
that.
I'm not getting mad. There's so many of these stories. But this one is kind of crazy because, like I said, remember the guy we interviewed on the podcast, I don't know, however many months ago, that does he does true crime stuff, and he's the psychiatrist that is signs of a psychopath, and we interviewed him.
I can't think of his name now.
The guy's great. But he did a thing about this guy as well, about Grant Amato, talking about this guy being a psycho. I mean, falling in love with a girl on the internet does not make you a psycho. What made him a psycho was his family got really mad at him for spending all this money, like stealing credit cards, stealing money to give to this girl.
I don't spend any money.
Yeah.
He was taking their money.
He was taking their money
like
and spending
$60,000.
Yeah.
Thousands and thousands of dollars.
I've never given any money to those sites.
Yeah.
Never.
So this family got very upset at him, of course. And so he responded.
Well, of course, he's spending their money.
Yes. And he responded by saying, look, I'm in love with this girl. Mm-hmm. Leave me alone. And they wouldn't leave him alone, so he murdered him. He murdered his parents and murdered his sibling. So that guy goes to prison.
I mean, whatever.
Right?
Swim wouldn't have called the cops.
What are we going to do now? They're dead.
He married his mother?
They're dead. What are the cops going to do?
Killed his mother?
Killed his mom and killed his whole family. Yeah.
Who else was in the family?
Brother. Yeah. I can't remember if he was younger or older.
Dad
but he had a brother.
Was out of the picture?
No, dad was there. He killed his mom,
killed
dad.
Dad, too?
Yeah. Killed all three of them.
Yeah.
Murdered him. That's why it was kind of a big story. Didn't he stab him or did he shoot him?
I think he shot him.
I remember there was a lot of blood. They showed some of the pictures of the crime scene, but yeah, he killed his whole family so that he could, you know, stay talking
so
to this Russian webcam girl or whatever. I mean, that
why
is
she Russian?
That is love.
Was she Russian?
I'm pretty sure she had an
she's
accent.
Russian or Ukrainian.
Or Ukrainian, something like that. So he goes to prison, right? Of course he goes to prison.
I avoid the Russians.
Oh, I love the Russians. Oh, my
God. Avoid anybody not from this country.
Oh, not me.
I just feel they're being sex trafficked. I feel like if you're a woman here, you know, maybe you're getting sex trafficked, but, you know.
A possible deniability.
And mostly you probably, like, you're in an apartment. I can see you're doing all right. The Russians, it's like, you go on those sites, it's like one room with, like, a white wall behind them. And they're like, you like me, baby? I'm like, someone's telling
it's
you
a warehouse.
To do that.
There's a gun to your head.
You go to another one, they're like, oh, look, they got a couch, a TV, you know, lighting. Like, I don't know. All right, maybe some dude paid for all that, but it's better. It's better.
I feel like the Russians need money. That's my thing.
I feel like that money
she's
ain't going to
spot.
The Russians. That's good, my good thing.
But anyhow, I don't know if this woman was Russian, but she was something. I don't know. She wasn't American, right?
She was definitely Russian or Ukrainian.
She had an accent.
100%.
So this guy goes to prison. Now, this is where this gets crazy. You remember us talking about that
is that crazy yet?
That guy on. Well, that's pretty crazy.
This is crazy, right.
Because remember that story we talked about, that woman? You always say you don't know a hitman. That's like my favorite saying of Lazlo's, you don't know a hitman. And anytime a story comes up about someone trying to hire a hitman
you don't know
being thrown in prison, I have to bring it up because it just proves Lazlo's point. Because you don't know a hitman. Well, like a month ago, there was a woman, I wasn't familiar with this guy, but he hosts a popular show on the Travel Channel called Ghost Adventures. The Ghost Hunter.
I feel like I've heard of that. Right?
Yeah, we talked about it.
And his wife tried to kill him.
His wife tried to hire a hitman.
Oh, right, yeah. How is this all going
to kill her husband?
Together?
Well, you remember she was texting someone in prison, and that's how they caught her, because the guy in prison had a phone, and they found his phone.
It was the guy who likes the webcams?
It was that guy! That's who she was texting!
Nice.
That's who she was texting.
That guy's smooth.
The
on
guy
a webcam.
From Control Alt Desire.
Guy is smooth.
So now she's in court. That's whose phone got confiscated. That's who she was texting. Was Grant Amato?
Because Lazlo's making fun of her because it's like, why would you text a guy in prison?
I know it made no sense.
Trying to get a hitman.
It never made sense. And she was like kind of falling in love with him. I saw someone on TV this morning talking about he thinks it's an example of. you know how these girls were like fall in love with the Columbine guys or whatever, this kind of sick, twisted fantasy where you fall in love with these psychopaths?
Victoria allegedly began exchanging messages with the convicted murderer, Grant Amato, after seeing the true crime docuseries, Control-Alt-Desire.
I know she saw it.
A tale of sex, obsession, and violence.
Victoria started watching the documentary, and it was from there that she took interest in Grant Amato. Mm. She really started reaching out to him, and she eventually said that she fell in love with him.
This is not the first time, and I don't think it'll be the last time, that we've seen people who have fantasized and romanticized people who are incarcerated for very serious crimes.
It happens all the time.
Right. We talked about the ghost hunter story when it happened, but all they said was that there was a prisoner.
I guarantee you there are women who are like, if I could just meet Jack the Ripper, I could change him.
Oh, there's websites dedicated to these guys.
People who love Jack the Ripper?
Who love different serial killers.
Yeah.
And Columbine killers are huge.
Yeah.
A bunch of girls like them, and they write little love messages to him and stuff.
Are they still alive?
No.
No, they killed died
them.
During the
time. Well, why are they writing love letters to him if they're dead?
I guess it's like writing on someone, a dead friend's Facebook and saying, hey, miss you, bro. You know, that sort of thing. I don't know, but I think it's more about being...
Well, we know ladies wanted, you know, to get with Ted Bundy.
Yep, and they did. I mean,
he was
one of them, one of them married him. He was a smooth operator, right? I don't know about Grant Amato. He doesn't strike me as a smooth operator.
But see, like Bundy, like, you know, had the good looks. So it was charming or whatever.
And
the Columbine killers were dorks.
Yeah.
This Grant Amato guy's a dork.
Huge dork. And the ghost hunter's wife is hot.
Right.
She's a hot woman.
Piece of ass.
She's a hot woman. Yeah. She's,
What, did this Russian ever get in touch with Grant?
Yeah, what did end up happening? I'm sure she just disappeared after he murdered his whole family. If she caught wind of that.
Yeah, I think she just disappeared.
But yeah, when we talked about that story, we knew that she was texting someone in prison, and you talked about how did he get a phone. Right. You know, the whole thing was busted because these text messages were on his phone. You knew the phone was going to get confiscated. Laszlo kept saying, like, they're going to find the phone that you got in there.
Eventually.
You're not supposed to have it. They're going to find it eventually. And then it turns out that the whole time it was this Grant Amato guy and that she fell in love with him. It's like, I don't know what it is. It's sick, but I guess, like they said, it's not totally uncommon. Snowcone's been to those Columbine guy websites. He's shown me some of that stuff before. You read the Columbine book, and you showed me a couple of those websites.
I read the book and got into it.
They still talk about it? They still post on there like it's a graffiti wall or something?
It's huge.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Imagine your daughter. That's what she gets
the T-shirts
into.
That the guys would wear, like, when they were alive, like, now sell out online because girls buy these shirts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
And they love them, huh?
Yeah.
Who knew? Yeah. I bet those guys didn't know.
No. I bet they didn't either. They wouldn't have killed themselves.
Right. They wouldn't have went down like this.
They could have been in prison getting letters.
Why did those girls like them before?
Exactly. Who knows?
Like, if those girls would have paid them any attention before, maybe none of this would happen.
Right. Why do you like a person now that they've killed someone?
Yeah. But before, you're like, this guy's just a dork in a trench coat.
Yeah.
But then he kills people, and you're like, this dude, a hot dude.
He's tough.
Right. Like, I don't know what it is.
I don't know either, actually. Some sort of obsession with violence.
Tormented.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is a tormented soul, and I can, you know, I don't know.
Daddy issues?
Relate to it.
Relate. Yeah.
I don't think dude was like in ninth grade. I don't think it was daddy issues, right?
I'm saying I don't know what causes these girls to fall in love with these guys. I have no idea.
Must be some sort of relatability, and if I would have only gotten to know him, I could have fixed him.
Yeah, maybe.
That kind of stuff, right?
So for some of them, for sure. I did see something about a girl who, they said she had kids, she was perfectly normal, and her and her husband split up, and she was like 25 years old, and they said she suddenly started watching videos online of people dying. First, it was people being hanged. Because her ex had hanged himself. So she starts watching videos of people getting hanged. Then they say she won't come out of her bedroom because she's watching videos online of people dying. It was a sudden obsession. They had to take her kid away. And she ends up going and murdering a dude and taking pictures of herself, a selfie of herself, with the dead body, with the knife in her hand. Like, look at me.
Was this a show you watched recently?
It was something that I saw. I don't know, but it was about this girl.
Did you watch it on TV?
I saw it on TV, yeah, but it's a true story just about this girl. Kind of fits into this idea of, like, becoming obsessed with gore and violence, and she found some other guy who was like, yeah, I'm into this too, let's go kill someone. And they said it didn't start until she got obsessed with watching people die on the internet. Huh. I don't know.
You watch people die on the internet.
I know, and I've never had a desire to go murder. Well, I've had a desire to murder someone, I guess, but not like that. Not like that. I mean, your kids, you hope as a parent that your kids know the difference between Hollywood, right, and reality, that they know the differences.
Well, I hope they don't kill anyone, even if they don't know.
Consequences, whatever. Yeah,
sure.
And you think that they do. I'm sure that you think, you hope they do, and you probably have a good idea. Like, I think they do. And then suddenly this crap happens.
I also hope they know the difference between love and, you know, a webcam.
Exactly.
But I'm sure your parents wish the same thing. That I'm sure your mom and dad talked at one point and were like, he's not the kind of dude who's going to fall in love with a stripper. He's going to be fine. Right? And then here we are.
I don't know if my parents talked about me much, but it's possible.
I think at least they thought you weren't going to be the guy who would buy a stripper a car. Like, he won't be that guy.
Yeah, maybe.
They probably were worried about you in a lot of ways.
They were definitely worried.
Right, but they were like, you know what? He's not going to be that guy. He's not going to be the guy who goes to the strip club three nights a week and falls in love with a stripper.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I made him proud. I didn't. Buying a car does not equal love, okay?
Okay.
Doing something nice for someone.
Well, I asked you if you were going to go get a lap dance from her, and you said no because what you had was different.
It was. We became friends.
All right, so,
became friends.
It wasn't.
We were friends at that
point.
The
only difference was that she now no longer had to give you... She didn't have to work for the money.
Well, you know.
And then you got real mad at me when I said we were there together, and I said, well, then I'm going to pay her.
Well,
and
yeah,
you're
that
like,
was
how
rude.
Dare you?
You did that on purpose.
Right.
Makes me mad now.
You're like, how dare you? I'm like, she's working.
Right, but I was talking to her.
Yeah, I was like,
she's with me.
I said, are you going to take her? And you said, no, what we have is different. I said, well, then I would like for whatever we're going to do to be less.
But you didn't want to do that
and
in
what
the
I have is
the
not
first
love.
Time we ever laid eyes on her at the strip club together, I saw her the
no,
first time
what
when you
me
did.
On was
and
that
you said
her.
She was ugly. You said she was ugly.
I didn't
exactly.
Think she was hot at all.
Exactly.
Kind of dirty.
You said she
but
was ugly.
She got real hot when I just.
When you thought
out.
It could hurt me.
Yes.
Yes.
I got an erection the moment. You started to cry.
The Church of Laszlo.
You see me cry?
No.
Is that what you want?
Like, no. I mean, it doesn't.
Happy?
No, it doesn't turn me on now.
Right.
It turned me on that moment when I said, well, why don't I take your stripper girlfriend into the VIP room and you got real mad?
Yeah.
That's when I was like, I didn't even really mean it at first. We were like, don't do that. Then I was like, oh, I have to do it. This
right.
is wonderful.
Right, right.
Right, that's what got me excited
right.
about it.
Okay, I'll try and find other more current ways for you to upset me. And, you know, try and... I don't want to just hand it to you. I know that wouldn't be as big of a turn-on if I hand it to you, but I'll try and give you some cues, you know? Hey, here's a place where I'm vulnerable. This is something that might hurt
well,
my feelings.
Well, I didn't know that you liked her like that until that moment, and then I realized...
Yeah.
So that's why I took her to the I don't know, what's that called? The VIP room or
yes.
the couch room or whatever, the champagne room. That's why I was like, let's go.
It was the VIP room. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. But
and while she was, you know, dancing on me, I did. I was like, oh, she's hotter than I thought. And then I also was like, man, he's so sad out there.
Well, you know.
He's so sad right now.
I wasn't in love with her, okay?
Okay.
I just was friendly with her.
Mm. Friendly enough to buy her a car?
I felt bad for her. She was in a tough spot at that moment. I'd known her for a while. You know, I got to, I went up there a
well,
lot.
Well, she didn't like you
I went up there
to not go to the VIP room with me.
Well, she, you know what? She had to earn a living. I get it. That's her job. But I know she was thinking about me.
Oh,
sure.
It didn't feel like it, but I mean, she could have been. I don't know what she was thinking about.
Whatever.
You know what? I didn't ask her.
Whatever.
I didn't care what she was thinking about.
Yeah.
I figured she was thinking about how she was going to walk home because she didn't have a car yet. But uh-huh. I didn't care. I wasn't going to give her a ride.
I know you weren't. Because you're that kind of person. You don't help. You see a kid getting hit, you keep driving.
Well, that's you, Biscuits.
Oh.
Biscuits. That's you, Biscuits.
So then helping somebody out later, still Biscuits?
Yeah, you're Biscuits.
Even though I helped someone out who needed a ride to work?
Yeah, buying a stripper a car and not helping a kid getting beat.
Why do you have to
that's
say stripper?
Biscuit behavior.
Why not just say buying someone a car who needed it, who fell on tough
well,
times.
Well, that sounds like
to
it
get
could
to
be
their
an
job.
Old lady who needs
out.
To go to the doctor.
Yeah.
It could be. But in
yeah.
this case, it was a young
a
woman who needed to get to work.
A stripper who convinced you to fall in love with her.
This was a young woman
completely
who needed to get
different.
To work.
These are different ladies.
Whatever.
I'm just saying, they're different ladies. You yeah. know that.
I know. Well, she's dead now, so.
All right. Good show, Biscuits. Stay positive, kid.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.